Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to greet you on the air as we face the issues day by day. We're thankful for this privilege and the opportunity. We pray that you're praying for this broadcast each day. And let me remind you, if you enjoy this broadcast, if it's a blessing to you, if facing the issues gives you insight, education, and wisdom on the issues that face the world and a biblical answer to them, if that is the case and you tune in each day, I would encourage you to give prayerful consideration to underwriting a portion of this broadcast. You can be a Christian business, you can be a Christian person, individual, and yet have the privilege of seeing this broadcast continue to come to fruition and broaden the base that others might come to understand some of these issues that we're faced with day by day. So let me encourage you to give prayerful consideration for a tax-deductible donation, contribution for the ongoing of this broadcast. One of the greatest difficulties I have is asking anyone for any support. So it's not for me. It is for the continuation and the broadening of the base for this broadcast. So if you enjoy Let's Face the Issues, if it's a blessing to you, let me encourage you to give prayerful consideration of underwriting a portion of the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Multitudes of times I have found down through the years, many, many people, if not most, will go to psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, and seek help on all of the issues that they're faced with before they ever go to the Word of God. We need to recognize that's the first place that we need to run to. What does the Scripture say? What does God's Word say? God's Word is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It gives us answers for life and answers for every issue that we face in life. In fact, that's the reason Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then he says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak truth in love, it says, Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak every man truth to his neighbors." And that's what we need to do. It's not a matter of my philosophy of thought. It's not a matter of what I believe. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. That's the first, foremost, and final authority on any subject, whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, whether it's social, economic, or political, as some would call it. So whatever issue we face in any of those categories, it's a biblical issue. Keep in mind, God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So any issue that we talk about in those three categories, it covers the totality of Scripture from Genesis through the book of the Revelation. And we need to understand that. And I say that because I'm always amazed, always not surprised, but amazed and in consternation when some well-meaning Christians will say, "Well, we ought not to talk about these things." And they're saying so often that Christians ought to just talk about, and pastors should talk about, just talk about Jesus and just dwell on Jesus and everything else is all right. In fact, there's some pastors that preach from the pulpit that they are not going to be bothered with or answer any questions about political contest, political parties, and those that are running for office, because that's not in their domain of communication and or expertise, and they're not interested. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. Being in the world, we need to be good citizens, and as good citizens, we need to be able to communicate from a biblical worldview in each of the realms of all of the issues that we're faced with in society. So may I encourage you and invite you each day to listen to this broadcast, invite others to tune in, join in the dialogue and the discussion. One of the most difficult things today is for people to speak truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place in our world today. You find that coming out of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the folks that are trying to impeach the president, because they're not interested in truth. And the truth is that President Trump feels that God placed him in Washington to drain the swamp or drain the sewer, whichever way you want to look at it. Both are correct, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is brought to you by and sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is outdoor power equipment company, dealership, specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals that's looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the generators and chainsaws and other things of that nature. They have a full line of the Honda generators with a knowledgeable team to answer all of your questions about backup power generation and about the equipment that they sell at Tools for Time. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flies. Look for the flag at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and 295. Look up and see that flag flying about 165-foot pole. So I think it's a 40-by-80 flag. Find that. At the base of that flag is Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it. I can do that, by the way, occasionally. The telephone number that gets your telephone calls and questions right through to the studios and right to our microphones, 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to be talking about a very controversial subject today. And let me say this in advance. I need your telephone calls, need your input, need your questions and dialogue. We need to know the basic heartbeat of the state of Florida, and especially as we're speaking to all of Northeast Florida. I'd like to know your position on the subject. Should we teach Bible in the public school classroom? Should we teach Bible in the public school classroom? Have a pretty elongated monologue gets us to that point, but we're going to talk about that today. Need to set the foundation, need to set the baseline of what's happening in public education, what's taking place in our public schools, to make that transition on the need for teaching the Word of God in the public school classroom. Now, there are a whole lot of dialogue and discussion, debate, dissension in relationship to whether or not that should be done. I don't know which side of the line that you would fall on, whether you're pro or con, whether you're for or against. But ladies and gentlemen, recently, perhaps you've noticed a greater and greater number of the millennials, and I'm not trying to hammer on the millennials when I say this, but it's a phenomenon that we find today that we've not found in history past. The 18 to 35-year-old age group seems to have a totally different biblical or totally different worldview, and even a very, very limited number of those in the millennial group with a biblical worldview. In fact, only about 4% of the millennials have a biblical worldview, according to the George Barna report, and he reports on religion, does a survey on religion. And out of that 4% of millennials that have a biblical worldview, 57% of those believe that it's all right to use drugs, believe that it's okay to have an abortion, believe that the LGBTQ agenda should be embraced. In other words, there is a biblical worldview and a small modicum of the millennial age group today. But even at that, it is a very, very unusual biblical worldview because of embracing so many things that are unbiblical and extra-biblical and that are against the Word of God in general. But ladies and gentlemen, if you notice that with these millennials, as they're pushing for socialism, one of the things that I find so antithetical to a constitutional republic that we're living in with a capitalistic society and a representative form of government, where we have our representatives making decisions for we the people, that we place them there to do that for us. And yet we find so many of them today that are pushing for the socialistic agenda. This is the reason you have AOC and the squad that's now thrown their support behind Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, in the debate recently on television with the socialist, Marxist, communist light, L-I-T-E, Democratic presidential candidates, the presidential wannabes, Bernie Sanders criticized Pocahontas, that's Elizabeth Warren, and said she's a capitalist. And he says, I want you to know I'm not. I'm a Democrat, socialist Democrat. He's very proud of being a socialist Democrat. We find multitudes of the millennials today that are following and rallying for the election of a socialist Democrat for our president today. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask the question, what does that mean? When you ask these millennials why they're saying that, why they're giving the answer they like socialism, generally you hear something fuzzy like this. Well, we need to help the poor. We need to provide for the homeless. We need to stop the wealthy from having so much, and the wealth needs to be spread around. Or we need to prevent the president from destroying our Constitution. Many times you hear those flimsy, fluffy, non-bearing on the answers that are not bearing at all on the real question. Yet you can ask these same individuals about what form of government we have, or simply ask them, have you ever noticed with the Waters report, where he sends those out, or Hannity sends those out on the street, and they'll ask questions to the general populace in relationship to the three branches of government. And Waters has done that on the campus of some of the most prestigious universities in the United States of America, asking these university students about the three branches of government. You'd be surprised, perhaps you've watched that, why they cannot answer what are the three branches of government, what do they stand for, who makes the decision, what is the executive branch, the legislative and judicial branch. The overwhelming majority of those asked cannot answer those questions, just simply, what are the three branches of government? Generally, the same people cannot say with any level of certainty the authority of the executive branch or the legislative branch or the judiciary branch. In fact, most of them can't even answer that question. This is the reason we need civic education. Back when I was in school, it was called government. Today, it's called civics, teaching civics. Here's an article that says, what does civics education look like in America? It's a very profound question. It's a very large article. I'll read you the elongated first paragraph. How well are schools preparing students to be effective citizens, voters, and members of their communities? This question seems more relevant than ever in the current era of contentious and polarized politics. Students recently earned national attention by organizing the March for Our Lives, a student-led demonstration against gun violence and the marches occurring worldwide. This surge of political activism by young people demonstrates a high capacity for political engagement among students. Yet, this article says, yet, at the same time, real concerns persist about the extent to which schools are equipping all students with the skills they need to be effective citizens, and whether some students will leave school more prepared than others or less prepared. The article further says the aim of civics education is to broader and includes providing students with an understanding of how our process works. And this article says democratic process. I beg to differ. It's a republic, constitutional republic, not a democracy, but they call it the democratic process, as well as how to engage in these processes. A high-quality civics education, thus including opportunities for students to engage in activism within the classroom and model our democratic process and what it looks like. But ladies and gentlemen, you're not finding that generally in our educational system today. Yeah, that is proof positive when you go on the college and university campuses, and they can't even answer the question about three branches of government. In fact, it was laughable. It was funny had it not been so sad when Waters World was on one of the prestigious university campuses and even gave them photographs of the different political leaders of the different Supreme Court justices and would simply ask them, who is this? Who is this? And then on occasions would make some very profound statements. And it was statements coming from Barack Hussein Obama. And so many of them that answered it, even tried to give an answer, said, I think it's a statement from President Trump. And it was very, very demeaning statements made by Barack Hussein Obama about America. And they didn't know any better. They didn't know who had made the statement. They can't answer the question about the three branches of government. They can't answer the questions when asked who is this political leader or other. They cannot answer any questions about government in general, better known as civics today. And it's simply because civics education is not being taught in our public schools today. Of course, across the nation, it's generally a required subject by the U.S. Department of Education. But then in practicality, it is not being done in most of our schools today. If it is being done at all, it is engendering a false educational process as to what true civics and what true government is about and the understanding of the branches of government. Why is this so? Simply, it's our governmentally controlled schools that no longer teach civics, what we used to call government in our public school system. Our schools have developed some social brainwashing programs, and in some cases they might call it civics. And in fact, most of the cases where civics is being taught, they're being taught how to go out and demonstrate. They're being taught how radical socialism is being the best form of government, or they're being taught other ideological bents rather than teaching true academics in our classrooms in America today. Dr. Bill Bennett, the former U.S. Department of Education secretary, recently said about American education. He said America has the lowest, and it's based on a global scale. He said that this morning on Fox and Friends on Fox News. He said, out of a global academic scoring system, that America was the lowest on the face of the globe in math and in reading. Math and reading. Now, he didn't go into further details. He's just published a very lengthy book. He was holding it in his hand. Looked like probably 700 or 800 page book. It's one of his newest books, and he's dealing with the academic declension in America and what's taking place in the realm of academics in our public school system. But ladies and gentlemen, most of the U.S., most of us that attended school in the yesteryear, as I call it, as our boys and those in their age group called it back in the old days, if you want to call it that, if you're less than 100 years old, back in yesteryear, I can recall that Johnny could read, that Johnny could spell, that Johnny could write, and Johnny was taught math, and Johnny was taught history, Johnny was taught government. But wait a minute. Those subjects that were taught then are not being taught today, generally speaking. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this. Let me remind you, by the way, you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917. We're doing a trickle-down, as I call it, in the elongated monologue to get to the point of what we need to do in our public schools is put God back in the classroom. Put God back in the classroom. Just a couple of years ago, we had legislation in the state of Florida that allowed the In God We Trust to be placed over in a prominent place in all buildings in the public educational system. And we found across America that that's being done state after state after state. Several states now have already introduced and passed legislation that allows the Bible to be taught in the public classrooms. There's a lot of ire out there among multitudes today that think that it ought not to be done, that think that the Quran should also be taught, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about that in a moment. I want you to keep the number in mind, 831-0917, 831-0917, and let's join in the dialogue and the discussion about this. Ladies and gentlemen, but wait, there's another subject that has never not been taught very much. And it is, we're talking about our founding fathers and what they allowed in the public schools and what they did. I can recall that when I was in public school, we had every day, listen, it was not an occasion, it was not an and then, it was not something that folks got upset about, it's not something that anyone worried about and was bothered by, but we had in our public educational system where the Bible was read every day. The teacher didn't try to teach it. The teacher would just allow the students to read it. The teacher would assign a verse of scripture, a unit of thought in the Word of God, and we would stand and read that, recite that, memorize that each and every day in the classroom. Every day we had Bible memory verses. We're talking about the public school, ladies and gentlemen. We had Bible memory verses. We had prayer time. We had the pledge to the flag. We had discipline in the school. You couldn't chew chewing gum in the classroom. Much less go in with your vaping in the classroom as is being done today. But we had a moral, ethical, fundamental foundation for life and living in our public schools back in my era. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got an article. It's a little hard to read because of the type style of print, but I'm going to read it to you that I think makes a broad statement. It's an elongated reading, so hang in there, and you'll find it has a point. Title of the article is To Be Educated. If I learn my ABCs and can read 600 words a minute and can write with perfect penmanship, but have not been shown how to communicate with the designer of all language, I have not been educated. If I can deliver an eloquent speech and persuade you with stunning logic, but have not been instructed in God's wisdom, I've not been educated. If I can read, if I have read Shakespeare, John Locke, and can discuss their writings with keen insight, but have not read the greater of all books, the Bible, and have no knowledge of its personal importance, I've not been educated. If I have memorized additions, facts, multiplication tables, chemical formulas, and have never been disciplined in the Word of God and placed it in my heart, I've not been educated. If I can explain the law of gravity and Einstein's theory of relativity, but have never been instructed in the unchangeable laws of the one who orders the universe, I have not been educated. If I can classify animals by their family, genus, and species, and can write a lengthy scientific paper that wins an award, but have never been introduced to the maker's purpose for all creation, I've not been educated. If I can recite the Gettysburg Address and preamble to the Constitution and not been informed of the hand of God in the history of our country, I have not been educated. If I can play the piano or the violin, six other instruments, and can write music that moves man to tears, but have not been taught to listen to the director of the universe and worship him, I have not been educated. If I can run cross-country races, star in basketball, and 100 push-ups without stopping, and have not been shown how to bend my spirit to the will of God, I have not been educated. If I can identify a Picasso, describe the statue of Da Vinci, and even paint a portrait that earns an A, but have not learned that all harmony and beauty comes from a relationship with God, I have not been educated. If I graduate with a perfect 4.0 and am accepted in the best universities with a full scholarship, but have not been guided into a career of God's choosing for me, I have not been educated. If I become a good citizen, voting at each election and fighting for what is moral and right, but have not been told of the sinfulness of man and his hopelessness without Christ, I've not been educated. However, if one day I see the world as God sees it and come to know him whom to know is life eternal and glorify God by fulfilling his purpose for me, then I have been educated. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that elongated reading sets the stage for what we need to understand today in relationship to true education. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question and comment, please. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead with your question and comment, please.
Oh, yes. Hey, thank you for the topic that you are touching. I mean, it's sad to see worldwide how the United States is listed on the education regarding the graduates. Many of them don't know how to add up. They don't know how to subtract. And it's amazing when you ask them, you know, where Italy is. Many of them believe that that's in Central America. I mean, it's sad, you know what I mean? And yeah. It has become a place, bastions of indoctrination. They don't teach you math. They don't teach science. You got those hippies from the 60s, anti-American, indoctrinating our kids. And to any of the listeners that are there, that you are a follower of Christ, it is a great investment that you can do on your kids. Send them to a Christian private school. And it is a great investment. They're going to be raised as people loving the Lord first and foremost and loving America. What you see now in many schools and universities is anti-America, anti-Israel, anti-morals, anti-values, and anti-Christianity. I mean, it's sad to see these things going on in America. And it's worse when nobody seems to do anything. You don't hear from the pulpits talking about these issues. Very few people feel the way that we feel. You know what I mean? And I guess the minority are the ones that portray themselves as they are the 90% in America. But I do not believe that. The difference is they have a bigger microphone nationwide in all those media outlets on TV and radio. But I don't think that's the minority. They are the minority. But the majority is silence. It's sad to say that, brother. What do you think about
that? Brother, I'm in agreement with you. If I can jump in for a moment, then we can continue the dialogue on this subject. I'm in agreement with you. One of the problems we find today, those, as you said, that have a larger microphone because they are heard on a nationwide basis simply because they have the ear of the left and the media is in favor of what they're doing. So the media gives them the microphone to make the statements they're making. But the silent majority, I believe, is the Christians. And I believe most Christians have hidden in the closet. And most pastors do not have the spine to stand up and speak up and call it like it is and say what we need to do. In fact, when it comes to the issue of teaching Bible in the classroom, I am woefully surprised, and I should not be, that multitudes, in fact, if not most of those that are now chiding our congressman in Tallahassee and saying, don't pass this law, do not allow it to pass, those voices are coming out of the ones that claim to be saved, claim to be pastors, claim to be Christians, and they're arguing and remonstrating against it rather than being for it. And I'm appalled by that, and I'm in agreement with you. I say that we've got a wretched, horrible, brainwashing system called the U.S. Department of Education and the public education system. For the past 50 years, I've called it rather than public education, I've called it governmentally controlled schools. And many talk about it being a free educational system. It's not free. It's costing hundreds of billions of dollars for the United States of America. And it's doing nothing but brainwashing our children, destroying their wisdom and the opportunity to think for themselves.
And the worst part, brother,
robots. Go ahead.
Is that the unions are getting a huge chunk of that money. And they, you see, in asking for more money, and every time they're going to spend money, they merge the demand, whatever. But they're doing a sorry job. Most of that money is ended up in the union's coffers, and the teachers are not getting anything. So, to my surprise, our conservative people, they don't raise a voice. They don't make a press conference, and they lay it out there, you know. And I don't see the use to high unions, to be honest. Send your kids to a private school, and it will be cheaper, and the government will save money in the long term. If you send your kid to a private school, it is between maybe $6,000 to $10,000 a year. The public school, they spend way more than that, almost between $14,000 and $16,000, according to the statistics nationwide. So in the long term, it's a win-win for the government. They save money, and we can send our kids to whatever we want. But unfortunately, that's not the mentality of the regressive Democrats. You have to say that. Have a blessed day, brother. Thank you very much.
There's a major move today, as perhaps you know, Jose, of pulling the students out of a public school and homeschooling them or putting them in a Christian classroom and allowing them to be taught appropriately. But you're exactly right that we don't have any problem in our public school system of teaching immorals and ungodly teachings and things that will destroy that student for the future. And yet we are saying that we don't want to spend money to teach Bible in the classroom, but willing to take taxpayers' dollars to teach the LGBTQ agenda and socialism, communism, and Islamic teachings in the classroom. Thank you so much for your call and for your input today. I'm delighted to have your input. Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to call 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about today, should we have Bible in the public classrooms? And we're talking about the demoralization of our students and the brainwashing of our students and how we are low on the totem pole and so many of the subjects. In fact, when Dr. Bennett this morning on Fox News talked about this with the lowest grades on a global basis in math and reading, he didn't go through the statistics of the low level of things in the other academic subjects and how low we are in all of them, and especially when it comes to American teaching government, teaching civics, how we are absolutely teaching nothing in that realm. But we find it is okay, ladies and gentlemen, to teach Islam, to teach the sodomite lifestyle, teach everything that's antithetical to God and God's word, anything that will be biblical truth. You can't have the Bible. You can't have Jesus, the cross, or prayer, John 3:16, but you can have all of these other things being taught today. I think we need to put Bible back in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break. One-minute break, we're going to have the top of the hour news. We'll come right back after the top of our hour of the news, and we're going to look at, should we put the Bible in the public classrooms? Get your telephone ready, 831-0917. Immediately following the news, we're going to continue this broadcast on Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.